morning. I'm here.
We have had some technical problems.
Hit it!
It's 8:06 a.m. Do you know where you are? You are entering the zone. Parental guidance is highly recommended. Of this program are sinful, bombastic, and shared by few, and do not represent the advertisers, employees, or anyone within 10 feet of the studio. Dishing current issues facing our community. Wake up, Santa Fe. This is the Julia Goldberg Morning Show.
Sometimes I get a little offended.
It makes me feel all warm inside.
I think Julia's kind of sexy.
Are you ready? The Julia Goldberg Morning Show. Only on the new KVSF 101.5, the voice of Santa Fe.
Good morning, Santa Fe. 8:06 a.m. here on September 25th. Can you believe September's just flying by? And yet, it doesn't feel very, it feels like fall in the morning and at night, but during the day, it is still pretty warm out. I went for a beautiful fall run yesterday, and then it occurred to me I was actually just going for a brutal summer run because it was hot. It's hot and sunny. Telling you, one of these days, somebody's going to build a giant sunshade that covers the whole city for those days when we just need it to be a little less bright, and that person is going to be my hero, and I will have that person on the show. Man or woman or robot, they are welcome. Speaking of man, women, and robots, I have a cool show today, and at 8:30, I have some guests I'm really looking forward to speaking with. Irene Lee is director of the Learning Lab at Santa Fe Institute, and Aviva Crichton is the coordinator for the Expanding Your Horizons STEM Computing Conference for Girls. That is a conference. It's the fifth annual, and it's coming up this Saturday, October 5th, which is not this Saturday. That's actually next Saturday, isn't it, Gino? I don't even know what day of the week it is. It feels like it's already October because everyone keeps talking to me about October things. It's coming up Saturday, October 5th. And this is a conference that is geared at 5th to 8th grade girls in northern New Mexico for girls who are interested in STEM-C. STEM-C stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, Mathematics, and Computing. And so when I was preparing for this morning's show, I started reading a lot of articles and papers about women versus men and how they react to sort of science and math, and which I thought I sort of knew about, but it turned out I really didn't know anything about it at all. And I learned a lot of interesting facts about sort of the different ways women and men's, girls and boys' brains work. And I'm interested to talk with these ladies who know a lot more about it than I do to see if any of the things I was reading online are actually true. I am one of those girls who always thought I was very, very bad at math, and then later as I got older realized I wasn't as bad if I wasn't thinking about the fact that I was doing math. So if it was like somebody gave me, like snuck me a budget that showed like that a school board was, you know, using money for bad things, I had no trouble following the math and following the money. As long as I had sort of a good goal. So it's interesting to think about the way our brains work and how we can trick our brains into thinking they're better at things than they realize. But then I started reading this report from last February that found that all over the world, 15-year-old girls outperform boys in science except in the U.S., Britain, and Canada. And so that's interesting, right? Because it's like these environmental reasons. It has nothing to do with the brain. It just has to do with sort of the environment in which people are living. And then I read that girls are more responsive to color than boys, and I thought, I wonder if that's true. I think that is true, Gino, because you're like wearing these kind of blah colors right now, and I'm wearing this pretty green scarf.
Gray and black.
Yeah, I wear black every day, so maybe I'm not that responsive to color. Anyway, so I'm going to be talking with Irene Lee and Aviva Crichton about this upcoming conference, what they offer to the girls that attend it, and maybe the larger context for this and Santa Fe Institute's involvement with it. They have some other projects I'm interested in learning about, such as the project Guts and Gutsy Girls. Those are two different projects. Okay. Also, today, 9:30 a.m., I will be speaking with Julie Ann Grimm. Julie Ann Grimm is the new editor of the Santa Fe Reporter. I'm the old editor of the Santa Fe Reporter. I am a former editor of the Santa Fe Reporter, and she is the newest editor of the Santa Fe Reporter. And her name is Julie, and my name is Julia. Isn't that interesting? Not so much. Also, we have the same initials, JG, JG. Yes. Look, I don't know what to tell you. It's early in the morning. That's all I got for you. Julianne's going to come in. We'll talk about this week's issue of The Reporter and just how she's liking her new gig. And I'll be interested to get her thoughts as well on this recent situation in which Governor Susana Martinez did release some of her travel, her calendar online. I believe this was one of the pieces of information the Santa Fe Reporter had been trying and failing to get and prompted their lawsuit, actually, against the governor's office. So I want to hear what's going on with all that. We have lots of other stories. John Califf will be in after the break, as he always is, and he's going to talk about the fact that because of all this rain, we are apparently no longer in extreme drought, which I am just astounded by, because I, for some reason, I thought extreme drought was something that, like, it never changes. Like, it doesn't matter how much it rains. There's just nothing we can do, extreme drought. But it turns out that if it rains enough, we can actually make some progress in our extreme drought. So that's good. So I'm learning all sorts of things I didn't know. Who says I'm not scientific? I'm actually super logical, but I don't know if I'm that scientific. I was actually also thinking this morning about in college, where I went to St. John's and we had to dissect cats our freshman year. And then we had to think of our own experiments that we wanted to do with the cats. And my experiment was that I cut out its liver and I put it into a container of hydraulic acid and then it dissolved. So basically I proved that that hydraulic acid will dissolve organs, which I don't think was anything anyone had a question about. I think everyone knows that. Not a scientific mind. I think I deserve some credit for even dissecting the cat, given how unbelievably sensitive I am about animals. It was quite the feat. But I'm not expecting anyone to give me any credit for dissecting a cat. I know Gino is looking sort of like a little bit alarmed just at the idea of me with a scalpel and a dead cat.
I could not do that.
Yeah, no, I don't think most people could do that, actually.
Cut open a cat?
Yeah, well, it was dead. It had been donated by the show. They donate them for, you know, dissection purposes.
I didn't want blood.
I didn't want it to be put to waste. And I don't like to be, you know, the person who, like, wusses out on things. So, no, I've ended up doing a lot of things that I really would prefer not to do just because it's like, okay, you want to go up in this prop plane that's just been restored? No. Yes. Yes, I do. Fortunately, no one's asked me to jump out of a, like, hot air balloon or anything because I'd probably do it. I'd probably feel like I had to do it. That's what you're learning today, is if you dare me to do something, I will probably do it. Okay. What was I talking about? John will be in. He's going to be talking about drought. He's got some other stories as well. Of course, we've got a bunch of roundup news, a lot of things brewing out there in the city different. We've got the latest in New Mexico's same-sex marriage legal situation. Last night was the first of what will be several meetings regarding a possible amendments to the city charter being put on the electoral ballot in March. Let you know how that went. And we've also got some news from the police as they look for October's most wanted criminals. Oh, yes, all this and more. And, of course, we will end our morning with the Prairie Dog Minute. We will start the 9 o'clock hour with some Onion Radio. And I don't even – anything could happen. Anything. For now, we're going to take a very quick break, and when we come back, we'll get to your morning commute. We'll have John Califf in with the news. We'll tell you where the snap traps are located, and lots of other stuff. It's 8:13 a.m. Hope you're getting where you're going. You're listening to KVSF 101.5, the Voice of Santa Fe, streaming live on santafe.com.
Tired of waiting for your registration sticker in the mail? Wait no longer. MVD Express can issue you a sticker on the spot. No worries if you don't have the paperwork. They can still help. MVD Express, only at the big green sign.
With fall and winter approaching, now's the time to call Anderson Mechanical for a warm and cozy home all winter long. Anderson Mechanical is offering a 10% discount for any high-efficiency Train or Rheem furnace system installed in October and November. So call Anderson Mechanical today for a free estimate by one of their comfort specialists. Remember to ask about the 10% discount. Visit online at AndersonMechanicalNM.com or see their ad in names and numbers. Anderson Mechanical, your heating and cooling specialist, a division of Anderson Air Conditioning, not affiliated with Anderson Air Corps.
Hello, I'm Jim Glover, that branding guy.
And I'm Dave Hayduck, that marketing guy. And hey, we're inviting you to come on in and tune into our new show, Ask Those Branding Guys.
We'll put your brand on the couch and give you recommendations to position your brand to be number one in the minds of your customers.
Hey, and you'll capture more mind share, increase market share, and that means more profit, More bucks, that's more dinero.
Dave, are you saying that our listeners are going to make so much money they're going to be able to reduce the national debt?
We've got to start somewhere, Jim.
Ask those branding guys.
That's every Monday at noon on KVSF 101.5, the voice of Santa Fe.
Participate in Santa Fe's Carbon Offset and Community Service Project, supporting low-income household energy efficiency and planting native grasses throughout Santa Fe County. Let's stop externalizing the cost of fossil fuels and start acting locally to save energy and water, beautify our community, and reduce our carbon footprint so we can restore the climate that sustains us all. It starts with you. Form a team of fellow citizens and join in the action at takeresponsibility.us.
Fantastic salad, classic burger, a perfectly seared steak. Anything to do with chile and cheese. Looking to explore the best culinary destinations in Santa Fe? Get in front of the hungriest people in town by advertising in the Santa Fe Reporter's annual restaurant guide. Call 988-5541 and ask about our rates. Oh, and check out our guide on stand starting October 16. Yum!
For over 15 years, Mattress Firm has been helping Santa Fe sleep happy. With our national buying power, we guarantee you the lowest prices. Yet we are locally owned to guarantee that you are 100% satisfied with your next great night's sleep. Being locally owned gives us pride in our community and our own young athletes. Mattress Firm salutes our high school athletes. Whether you go to Santa Fe, St. Michael's, or Capitol, Mattress Firm is looking for you. Each week, one great athlete will be chosen as the Student Athlete of the Week. Here's this week's Student Athlete.
St. Michael's High School senior defensive end and fullback Isaiah Dominguez. Dominguez led the Horseman defense with 7 tackles and 5 quarterback sacks. He also carried the ball 6 times for 25 yards and scored one of the Horseman's touchdowns in the victory over Lovington.
Mattress Firm, proud sponsor of the Student Athlete of the Week. Check out MattressFirmNM.com for all the details. Mattress Firm. Save money. Sleep happy.
They call me Murphy, and I'm a service tech at Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center. It was 9:30 on a Saturday morning, and a Kona Blue Mustang drove in.
I'm due for a tire rotation. Overdue, I'm sure.
Well, better late than never. I poured her a cup of coffee, black.
Hey, can I hop on Wi-Fi?
Sure thing. No charge. She checked her emails and I checked the tires. Pressure was low in one.
Is it bad?
It's below the manufacturer's recommendation. Could affect your fuel economy. I properly inflated the tires, then rotated and aligned them. Did our Quick Lane multi-point inspection, too. Looked good. Took about a half hour, tops. Well, you're all set.
Thanks for fitting me in.
We always do. A Quick Lane tech is always ready to serve.
Get extraordinary service for routine maintenance at Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center. With a full range of services, great prices on 13 name brand tires, and no appointment necessary. Quick Lane is ready to serve. Visit quicklane.com.
I'm Matt Burning with McPartland Roofing. We've been Santa Fe's number one choice for quality roofing installation and service for nearly 3 decades. If you're looking for a trustworthy local roofing company with skills, experience, and hundreds of satisfied customers, we're the team for you. Residential or commercial, we've got you covered. We even do foam roof repairs. We offer the latest in eco-friendly options and materials to promote sustainability and energy efficiency. You work hard to keep a roof over your head, and we're going to make sure it's a great one. McPartland Roofing, we've got you covered.
The only station bold enough to take on Santa Fe politics. Give the mayor his own hour program and play a little Hendrix in the middle. Get the program lineup on SantaFe.com. Keyword KVSF. The new KVSF 101.5. The voice of Santa Fe. And now back to the sultry, scandalous, highly allergenic, and animal-friendly Julia Goldberg Morning Show on KVSF 101.5. The voice of Santa Fe.
Hey, Santa Fe, 8:19 a.m. here on Wednesday, September 25th. The month of September is flying by. I, for one, am looking forward to October for numerous reasons. Number one, Halloween. Hello. Gina, do you dress up for Halloween?
Every now and again.
Yeah.
We talked about this. Remember, I was a Jedi.
Oh, a Jedi, right. John, you?
Pancho Villa.
Not really.
Oh, John. Seriously? Nothing? You do nothing? You don't dress up? You just
I'm
do nothing?
I'm 38 years old. What am I going to do for Halloween? With
38 years old.
Yeah.
You sound like an 80-year-old man. Okay? This is just, you are dressing up for Halloween this year. That's all there is to it. Got it? Are you listening to me?
Huh?
Are you listening to me?
What?
You're dressing up for Halloween. I'm not taking no for an answer. In addition to Halloween, there's also going to be a state Supreme Court hearing on this issue of same-sex marriage. And as we talked about earlier in the week, recently about two dozen Republican lawmakers, past and present, filed an amicus brief that's known as a friend of the court brief against it. Now, Equality New Mexico has filed an amicus brief in support of the freedom to marry in New Mexico. The brief was written by Mary Bonato, who is one of the nation's leading civil rights lawyers, and it argues that excluding same-sex couples from marriage violates the New Mexico Constitution and its equal protection guarantee. Equality New Mexico Executive Director Amber Royster notes in a comment about it that about the brief that Equality New Mexico has been working for more than 10 years on gaining same-sex relationship recognition in New Mexico. She says, quote, "It is both fitting and a tremendous honor to be a leading organization in supporting this critical legal effort. 20 organizations, including six religious groups, have signed on to the EQNM amicus brief supporting a favorable decision from the state Supreme Court. These are groups that are representing lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender clients, and congregants who face discrimination and unequal treatment." So as Amber Royster says, quote, "We hope the state Supreme Court agrees and places New Mexico on the growing list of states that recognize the freedom to marry." And you can read the full text of the EQNM amicus brief online at Equality. Well, you don't want to read that. That is a very long URL. I will put the link on my podcast today. Now, the author of that brief, Mary Bonato, argued the first successful challenge against a state ban on marriage for same-sex couples. That was the case which laid the groundwork for the overturn of the Federal DOMA Act in June of this year. It's going to be a very big deal when this happens in October. I am looking forward to it. And then, so we'll get state Supreme Court. They're going to hear it. Maybe they'll rule on it. Maybe they'll rule on it favorably. And then it'll be Halloween. How awesome is that going to be for October? You, John, should go as a same-sex couple who got to marry for Halloween. You could get your twin brother in on it. It would be perfect.
That would just be creepy.
It'd be awesome. Oh, my God. So the best idea I've ever had. Okay, I'm going to sit here and be happy about that while we listen to the news.
Good morning, Santa Fe. This is your up-to-the-minute traffic report. I am in the drive-through line at a local taqueria. Oh, the man in front of me apparently needs to remove his seatbelt so that he can reach his order and Oh my goodness, a motorcycle policeman has pulled up next to him. He seems to be giving the man a ticket for not wearing his seatbelt. And oh my goodness, the gentleman in the lowrider behind me is now getting agitated.
Hey, go find some crimes, Batman!
And that's your up-to-the-minute traffic report.
Oh my gosh. See, John, that's a funny man. Okay, let me tell you where the snap traps are. First photo enforcement van, Kearney Elementary, Paseo de los Pueblos between Avenue Alamosa and Avenida de San Marcos. The second one is at Salazar Elementary, Aquafree at Harrison Road. And the third and final photo enforcement van, Zia Road at Botec Road. It's been a week. I still haven't gotten the ticket I think I might have gotten. I wonder how long they take. Do you think they take like 6 weeks? Like I'm going to totally let down my guard and then a ticket's going to come in the mail?
Yeah, I have no idea how long it takes.
John!
I don't know. I've never gotten a ticket from it. I don't know.
Gino,
I have no idea.
Is it me? I mean, he's just like, it's like trying to have a conversation with a stuffed animal. It's killing me. All right. Read your news, John.
Now it's time for Santa Fe Local News with John Califf, firefighter and professional newsman. Get the daily local podcasts on SantaFe.com.
Those rains earlier this month have provided some relief from drought, particularly for areas of New Mexico that were hardest hit by the drought. The Santa Fe New Mexican reports that 75% of the state is still experiencing moderate to severe drought conditions. Rains did help out on filling some reservoirs to capacity, which should help out some farmers next year. The Elephant Butte Reservoir gained about 50,000 acre feet of water from storms. It can hold about 2 million. The Pecos River received enough water that the Carlsbad Irrigation District says it was releasing some water to Texas.
Wait, so what was the first thing? We're not in extreme drought anymore?
Well, there are some areas in extreme drought that that received enough rain so that they're no longer in extreme drought.
Doesn't that blow your mind?
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
The Historic Design Review Board has postponed consideration of a request by Greer Enterprises to make some changes to the facade at the Plaza Galleria. That business is located on Santa Fe Plaza. The Albuquerque Journal reports that board members voiced some concerns that proposed changes would not be in keeping with the building's historic nature. Greer Enterprises wants two exceptions to city rules that govern historic districts to remove historic material, also change some entrances. The design calls for installing sliding glass doors and also for an addition to be created on the roof behind the upper-level facade. The Chevron Molybdenum Mine near the village of Cuesta is looking into an alternative way to dispose of tailings. The materials are left over from the mining process. The Santa Fe New Mexican is reporting that Chevron is hoping to convert from slurry to paste tailings. That would mean that a tailings pond and pipeline would be taken out of commission, reducing the risk of contaminating water and also speeding up a cleanup for the mine waste. An $800 million cleanup has just begun at the mine, which was mandated by the EPA to prevent any more contamination of Red River. That site was listed as a Superfund site in 2011. National Weather Service is saying that it should be sunny today with a high temp near 77 degrees.
Honey Harris said that it was going to be 81 degrees.
Really?
Yes.
Well, she must be wrong.
I hope so. I hope she is wrong because that's too hot for me. All right, you may leave.
All right, thanks.
Now you're up to date with local news from SantaFe.com. Brought to you by Camel Rock Casino.
That was John Califf with the news. He will be back in the 9 o'clock hour. And I was just on the Facebook and noticing that two regular guests from the Julie Goldberg Morning Show have birthdays today. Happy birthday, Nick Pena of Food Tour New Mexico. And happy birthday, Jody McGinnis Porter, City of Santa Fe Public Information Officer. I hope you both have wonderful birthdays. I wonder what sign you are. I never know things like that. Do you know things like that, Gino?
I have no idea.
I wonder if maybe they are Virgos. Wait, now I'm totally curious. I feel kind of proud of myself that I've lived in Santa Fe for almost 30 years and still have no idea about horoscopes. But I guess it's not really something to be proud of, per se. September horoscope sign. Oh, God, looking this up was a nightmare. There's just absolutely no way I'm going to figure this out. Well, if anybody knows, I think you're a Virgo if you're born today, maybe. All right, I actually don't even know what any of that would mean, so it doesn't matter. I know that I'm a Sagittarius, but that's about all I know about that.
And I know I'm a Libra.
Are you?
And my birthday's coming up.
Is it?
Next Thursday.
Really?
Yep.
Are you going to be here?
I think I am.
We should sing happy birthday to you on the air and have chocolate cake.
Nah, that would be embarrassing.
Would it?
Yeah.
Even the cake part?
I don't like cake, actually.
Do you like cupcakes?
Nope.
Really?
I really don't care for sweets.
Really?
It's too much sugar, too rich.
Oh, I love sugar. If I could just have sugar, that's all I would really need. Sugar and caffeine.
Cake is all you'd eat?
I mean, I don't allow myself to eat very much of it, but left to my own devices, I would eat a lot of cake, yeah.
No.
All right. Don't you think John should be a same-sex couple for Halloween?
it's a really good idea.
That
would be really funny, actually.
I know. We got to loosen him up. He's just getting worse and worse. All right. What else is happening? So both New Mexico and Journal have stories on last night's meeting regarding whether or not the city council is going to put some charter amendment proposals on the ballot for voters to consider in March. I believe in the end that they shall. But very different takes on the story. The New Mexican story had much more of an emphasis on concerns about this, I wanted to call it the big mayor proposal, strong mayor proposal. And this would be making the mayor a full-time position with a full-time salary. And the New Mexican story really emphasized that element of the meeting and saying, quotes several city councilors, such as Councilor Patty Boucher, talking about the fact that the salary itself should be part of the ballot question, if I am interpreting this right, which seems really strange to me because I don't know how you can lock into the charter what the salary is going to be, because might it not change over time? Anyway, I'm assuming this is in response to the fact that this seems to have been the thing that people have focused on the most, is the idea of paying the mayor around $150,000, which I have to say, when I first heard about it, I was like, damn, $150,000. But the more I think about it, the more I think like, well, I mean, 150 sounds like a lot, but I mean, the mayor should be sort of the top paid person if it's a full-time job and they have to work hard. I don't know. I mean, isn't it better to pay people a lot? Aren't they less likely to steal money if they're being paid a lot? Like when we pay like all those lawmakers that got into trouble, maybe if we hadn't been just paying them per diem, they wouldn't have been stealing so much. Or is that not how corruption works? People are going to steal if they're going to steal. Questions to ponder. Hey, it's 8:30 a.m. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I will have folks from the Santa Fe Institute here on the show to talk about this upcoming conference for girls in science. So stick around here on KVSF 101.5, The Voice of Santa Fe, streaming live on SantaFe.com.
Crystal Springs Bottled Water is local, cares about the environment, gives back to its community, and keeps you healthy. Really, what more could you ask for?
Jackalope has it. Unique, fun, and exciting treasures. I'm Brooks McQuaid, assistant manager at Jackalope Pottery on Cerrios, son of founder and owner Darby McQuaid. My father started Jackalope 37 years ago out of the back of a pickup truck. Today, we're over 5 acres of pots, plants, furniture, rugs, and gifts. We also have glass blowing, food, music every Sunday in the summer, and of course, our world-famous Prairie Dog Village. Visit our new artisan market featuring working artisans from Mexico, Guatemala, Peru, Costa Rica, and Thailand. I'm proud to continue my father's tradition of a unique and enjoyable shopping experience with affordable prices and smiling faces. So stop in today and see why shopping at Jackalope is a trip. 2820 Cerrillos Road, 471-8539, or find us on the web, jackalope.com.
Camel Rock Casino, proud to announce your local news done locally. Camel Rock Casino, bringing Santa Fe the ultimate casino experience with great promotions and giveaways. Go to Camel Rock Casino for more information.
September is the time to get your game on at Camel Rock Casino for cash and free play. Receive free entry tickets daily when you're at Camel Rock and receive additional tickets with play for a chance to win a share of $20,000 on Friday, September 13th and again on Friday, September 27th. And hey, football fans, come out to Camel Rock Casino for your chance to pick the pros every week through the NFL season. Pick the Pros is exclusively for Club Rock members, so sign up for free membership, then grab your Pick the Pros giveaway card. Each week, pick the most winning teams for a chance to win cash prizes for weekly, monthly, and season best pro picks. Don't know football? Camel Rock's Pick the Pros also has cash prizes for the worst number of weekly, monthly, and season pro picks. Make sure you turn in your game picks by 11:30 a.m. every Sunday, and then watch all the games at the Fire and Ice Bar located inside Camel Rock Casino. Camel Rock Casino, conveniently located just 10 miles north of Santa Fe, when you just gotta have fun.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Wake up with America's morning news from 4 a.m. to 8 a.m. Monday through Friday. Then get caught up with the only Santa Fe radio program focusing on the city's different polarized political scene. The Julia Goldberg Morning Show, only on the new KVSF 101.5, The Voice of Santa Fe. You're wired into the Julia Goldberg Morning Show, streaming on SantaFe.com.
Good morning, Santa Fe. 8:34 a.m. here on Wednesday, September 25th. And joining me in the studio are Irene Lead, who is director of the Learning Lab at Santa Fe Institute, and Aviva Crichton, who is the coordinator for the Expanding Your Horizons STEM Computing Conference for Girls. Man, those are some long titles. And I didn't get to half of your titles, Irene, because you do a bunch of other things at the Santa Fe Institute as
That's
well.
That's right.
So this conference is coming up on Saturday, October 5th. And can one of you just start by kind of laying the general groundwork for what the conference is?
Sure. First of all, the mission of the conference is to encourage young women to pursue STEM and computing careers. And through the program, we provide both exposure to role models and hands-on activities for girls.
Yes. And it's for 5th to 8th grade
That's
girls?
Right.
And so do they draw from schools all over northern New Mexico, or is it Santa Fe-based?
Primarily Santa Fe.
Great. And about how many? You had several hundred last year, is that correct?
Right. There were about 223 last year. This year, a slightly smaller venue, and we are expecting about 175.
That's still a decent number of girls. So how do girls get involved in this program? Do they find out about it through their schools, or?
Largely we go through the schools. We did outreach programs of taking the information directly to them and finding a point of contact. Like, a lot of the schools have a science educator who tries to promote an environment or a sort of social atmosphere where they can promote science in the schools anyway. And, talking with counselors and teachers and finding someone who will kind of be enthusiastic and get the information to the girls.
Cool. And Aviva, you don't look super old yourself. Were you involved in these programs yourself when you were younger?
I'm not actually from Santa Fe, but I was involved with some similar things back home.
Mm-hmm.
So I have an appreciation for them, even though not these specific ones. Yeah.
Great. So tell me a little bit about what kinds of activities specifically the girls will do at this conference. I looked at some of the things online, and it was like, how to make a turtle. And I was like, make a turtle? What does that mean?
That must have been a workshop in Sterlogo TNG, it's a environment in which you program and create 3D environments for students to model ecosystems and different phenomena as complex systems.
Oh, okay. So not actual turtles.
Not actual turtles.
Okay, good to know.
But some other really fun ones. There'll be a workshop by Cleo Andrus, who's a scientist at the Santa Fe Institute, on exploring GIS, or geographical information systems. Mm-hmm. There's a workshop on paper and electrical circuits where girls get to construct either cards or posters using this copper tape and LED, so light-emitting diodes.
Neat. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's worth saying that STEM, what STEM stands for, and that sort of what the conference isn't just sort of one kind of science, right?
Right. It branches out. So STEM-C is science, technologies, engineering, mathematics, and computing. So, and it's not any one particular. So there's a whole range of professions that fall, under one or many of those. And it's just sort of the awareness of them as a whole and what you can do with them.
Uh-huh. And some of our presenters are research scientists. Others are professionals who work in the community, but use STEM every day, or computing, mm-hmm. every day as part of their work life. So we have veterinarians, EMTs, science educators also offering workshops.
Cool. So is the conference somewhat vocational then? Is it trying to encourage girls at an early age to think about careers in science?
Definitely to consider careers and to see other women. We include a wide range of women in ages. So we have near-peer mentors who are high school girls working with middle school girls. We are going to have some volunteer young women from St. John's College helping us, all the way up through female professionals. So there's this whole exposure to role models at various stages in their careers.
You probably didn't hear my story earlier about my disastrous science experiment when I was a student at St. John's and dissolved a cat liver in hydraulic acid.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Did that leave any lasting scars on you?
No, I later thought, wow, you just proved that hydraulic acid dissolves organs, but nobody needed that proven. So, yes.
I see. I thought that was lovely.
Well, it was fun.
Carolina's perfect.
Yes, it's fun for everybody. Well, Irene, you are the director of the Learning Lab at the Santa Fe Institute, and also you run the Gutsy Girls program?
That's correct.
Does that relate the Gutsy Girls program to this?
It does. Mm-hmm. Gutsy Girls is a it's a program that runs over the course of the year, and it offers weekend workshops once a month over 8 months. And those workshops brought in female STEM professionals to be role models, engaged girls in hands-on activities over the course of the day. And there's close ties between that program and Expanding Your Horizons. So Expanding Your Horizons generally reaches a much larger group of students on one day than we can accommodate in the Gutsy Girls workshops.
So you're a female scientist, you're a female science type. What can you talk from your point of view, why have a conference just geared at girls in science?
There are many reasons. One is that there's research on self-efficacy by a fellow named Bandura, and he found that the components of self-efficacy are experiencing mastery in some type of activity in STEM, seeing others like oneself succeed. So exposing girls to others who look like them, act like them, are slightly older than they are, and are successful in STEM, often bolsters their self-efficacy. And also to receive encouragement from people that they trust.
Mm-hmm. I was reading a study in advance of you guys coming on this morning that said that 15-year-old girls outperform their male counterparts in scientific testing everywhere in the world except for the U.S., Britain, and Canada, I think. Hmm. And they were saying, the authors of the study were saying, it sort of supported this idea that there's really no like inherent kind of girls are good at this, boys are bad at that, but environmentally that people can be sort of taught to think that they're not good at
Correct.
Something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Was that your experience in science, or did you have just encouragement to be a...
I think I was lucky. I had encouragement from a very young age.
What about the girls that you work with in these conferences? Do they come in already? Are they already girls who want to do science, or do they have hesitation about it?
I would say some are on the fence, and mm-hmm. some are very much enthusiastic about STEM already.
Are there different approaches then that would be taken at a conference like this in terms of the kind of workshops that are being offered? Are they, I guess I'm trying to say, does having them geared at girls mean that they're taught in a different way, or is it just that they get to only do it with girls versus having boys around?
I don't think it's taught in a different way. I think one of the features of the conference that makes it special is that girls do have the opportunity to do hands-on design and build activities and experience being a scientist for the day, or a technologist, or an engineer. So it's very much hands-on experiential learning rather than hearing someone lecture to them about why they should be a female scientist, for example.
Right. Yeah, I guess that wouldn't be that encouraging. Yeah. I went to an all-girls school, so I do think there's a very big difference when you're in a learning environment and you don't have to worry about brushing your hair or caring what you look like. Not that I care that much about brushing my hair anyway, as you can see. So in terms of the Santa Fe Institute, I think of the Santa Fe Institute as doing a lot of very high-level, abstract, predictive studies. Does this fit somehow?
I think the Santa Fe Institute has had a very strong educational outreach and educational research emphasis for the past, I'd say, 20 years. Mm-hmm. And this fits into it, you know. We are interested in both disseminating the research that from the Institute mm-hmm. to the general public, as well as encouraging people from the local community to find out more about science, become future scientists.
Mm-hmm. And does the particular kinds of projects that the Institute does it sort of translate over? I guess I'm wondering, like, if the students are themselves doing sort of predictive complexity type things.
Yes, in the programs that we offer for middle school and high school students, mm-hmm. Such as Project Guts, Growing Up Thinking Scientifically, Gutsy Girls, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. and also some of the summer programs aimed at high school students, students do learn complexity science and practice computational modeling of complex systems.
I am just the girls of that age that I've met, there seems to be a lot of interest in environmental issues
yes.
in that generation. So I can imagine there's a way to make it very practical for
That's
them.
Right.
Well, we're going to take a very quick break. Anything you want to mention before we go get off, Aviva?
We're looking for volunteers still.
Oh.
Yeah. We need volunteers to work with the girls, with setup, with a whole variety of things. If you have the time, again, it's Saturday, October 5th, getting started with setup about 8 in the morning, going until about 3:30 in the afternoon, and times in between.
Great.
We have a website you can go to. It's tinyurl.com/EYH volunteers.
EYH volunteers. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. All right, well, we are going to take a quick break as it hit 8:44 a.m. here on Wednesday, the 25th of September. We will be right back on KVSF 101.5, the Voice of Santa Fe.
This pleasant moment interrupted by you when you decided to drive after drinking. Now you are in jail. Your car is going to be sold at auction. All you had to do was call 438-0000 for a $1 cab ride home. Dial 438-0000 for a ride home Friday and Saturday nights. This tip for a happier life brought to you by the Santa Fe County DWI program.
Marty Links de Santa Fe is fun for the whole family. New low rates, affordable golf, lessons, and friendly staff are what makes Marty Sanchez Links de Santa Fe your golf course of choice. Play a full 18 holes or try the great 28 when time is tight. Call the Pro Shop to set up your next tee time at 955-4400. Or for more information, visit them at linksdesantafe.com. Marty Sanchez Links de Santa Fe, your golf course of choice. Check them out on Twitter and Facebook.
Nambe Drugs, serving you since 1976.
It's fall, kids are in school, time for family gatherings, and the beginning of cold and flu season. Hi, I'm Tom Lovett with Nambe Drugs. We can help with the symptoms of allergies and colds. We also administer flu shots without an appointment. So be proactive with a flu shot and come see us as soon as those unwanted symptoms show up.
Call us at 455-2256 or stop by at 70 Cities of Gold Road, Pewaukee. Nambe Drugs, because we believe personal service is the best medicine since 1976.
Santa Fe Public Schools need your help. With your generous donation, every dollar you give goes directly to the classroom and the kids. Please donate now. Go to dollarsforschools.org.
I'm Sophia.
I'm Fritz.
We're in kindergarten. We're learning how to read.
Now we have lots and lots of books in our class.
Thank you, Dollars for Schools.
Big congratulations going out to the Cowgirl as winners of the People's Choice Award for the Best Green Chili Cheeseburger in the Smackdown. The competition, sponsored by the Santa Fe Restaurant Association, the Farmers Market Institute, and the city's CVB, featured seven local restaurant chefs in a cook-off. The Cowgirl chef, Patrick Lambert, presented the Mother Burger, a charbroiled buffalo beef patty topped with applewood smoked bacon, melted brie cheese, truffle-infused Hatch green chili, and heirloom tomato on a chili cheddar bun. Congratulations, Cowgirl Barbecue, on winning the first ever green chili cheeseburger smackdown.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. First, she'll crawl. Then take her first baby steps. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school. I'll be watching her run down a soccer field. Staying up all night waiting for her to get home from her first date. Wincing when she steps on the gas pedal and then the brakes. Beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma. Or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Gather your family, friends, and co-workers and join March for Babies to help make her steps possible. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
You are now a hostage of the Julia Goldberg Morning Show.
Hey there, Santa Fe, 8:48 a.m. here on Wednesday, September 25th. Hope you're getting where you're going here in the middle of the week. We're halfway there, folks. Halfway. I'm not super scientific, but I know that. I know it's the middle of the week. If you're just tuning in, I just finished talking with Irene Lee and Aviva Crichton about the Expanding Your Horizons STEM Computing Conference for Girls. It sounds really super cool. Even if you don't have a girl, even if you're not a girl, I think you should go online to expandingyourhorizons.org and check it out. You know, sometimes I really wish that I had been born in a different time. Like, I wish that I was young right now, because I feel like there's more cool stuff for young people than there were when I was young. I feel like there was nothing cool when I was young, but maybe that's just some kind of weird, bitter memory, and it's not really true.
Yeah, big wheels. We don't see big wheels around anymore.
That's true. I mean, I had fun. Like, you know, I like roller skated all around the neighborhood and, like, you know, tromped around and went swimming and did stuff like that. But I was definitely one of those girls who just thought I was really bad at math for a long time. I mean, I am actually kind of crap at math, but I'm not as bad as I thought I was. And if somebody had been like, you can do it, I probably would have done better. And instead, teachers were like, why don't you do extra reading instead of this? Literally, I am not even kidding you. All right, what else is going on around these parts? Well, here's something. Santa Fe police are once again doing their most wanted criminals roundup, this time for the month of October. It's not October yet, Santa Fe police. They have just released a list in an attempt to apprehend the top property crime offenders, cut down on burglaries, and ensure the community is familiar with the city's repeat criminals. Here's a quote from Santa Fe Police Chief Ray Real. Quote, the community has a right to know who is responsible for some of the most devastating crimes in our city. Our program has been extremely successful, and we hope that this month we can catch everyone on the list. It turns out, according to the police, they've caught all but three of the suspects from September's list. I actually think this is also like a really good activity for people, you know, where it's like, okay, now I'm going to go. Sorry, Gino. I had to move the microphone. It's not in the right place. Somebody moved my microphone. But it's kind of a good activity. It's like every month you get the list and then you can like go around and like rat on people. It's good. It's a good activity. It's a good way to spend your time. Okay. Santa Fe Police says in total they have either arrested or accounted for 18 offenders since they launched this top wanted program in July. All of this month's or October's suspects have active warrants for their immediate apprehension, and they are all charged with various property crimes. If you have information about them, you can call the Santa Fe Police at 428-3710, or you can call Crime Stoppers at 955-5050. And yes, you can remain anonymous. And if you want to see that list, you can check out the Santa Fe Police Department's public information page on Facebook. I assume it will get up on santafenm.gov at some point, but it's not up yet. And, you know, it is Joni McGinnis Porter's birthday, so we're not going to, like, harass her on her birthday. Although I think I did actually already send her an email at 6 o'clock this morning, so I'm just not a good person to have around on your birthday, apparently. Today, the 25th of September at 3 p.m. is the kickoff for a big education community impact team plan thing. I talk good. Okay, City of Santa Fe Children and Youth Commission is partnering with a bunch of local leaders to develop a plan through a community impact team to reduce the dropout rate in Santa Fe public schools. Excuse me, I need to have a choking fit. Hold on. Okay, I'm done choking. Man, this is the virus that keeps on giving. I'm going to be okay. I am, I swear. Okay, as I was saying, City of Santa Fe Children and Youth Commission is partnering with local leaders. They're going to work on developing a plan through this impact team to reduce the dropout rate in Santa Fe public schools. This initial meeting is going to have, well, they say it's going to have all these people, but I don't think they are. It says U.S. Senator Martin Heinrich and U.S. Congressman Ben Ray Lujan. I'm thinking it will be representatives from their offices, but hey, that's not what this says. State Rep Jim Trujillo, Mayor David Koss, City Councilor Carmichael Dominguez, representatives from the New Mexico Voices for Children, Santa Fe Regional Juvenile Justice Board, the Santa Fe Public School Board Chair and Superintendent. The list goes on. Santa Fe Community Foundation, students, parents, and residents are invited to attend. This is going to happen again at 3 p.m. today at Zona del Sol. That's at 6600 Valentine Way. And again, the point of this meeting is that New Mexico has one of the highest dropout rates among high school students in the country. That's according to the most recent data from New Mexico Voices for Children. New Mexico came in 50, that's 50th for the well-being of children. And one of these indicators that made it come in so low for well-being is the dropout rate. City of Santa Fe was one of the top three cities with the highest rate of students dropping out of school. That is really appalling. I mean, really, 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 when you think about all the resources that are here, all the money that's in this community, all the talent that's in this community, all the nonprofits, all the organizations, people like the Santa Fe Institute folks that were just in, to imagine that in the state, we've got one of the worst dropout rates in the state. That's just unforgivable. Really, every single person should just devote themselves to saying, you know what, I'm going to do something this year to try to help with this problem, because it's depressing. And it doesn't bode well to have that kind of problem. What was Lisa saying to me earlier? Oh, wait, that was about Republicans. Never mind. Lisa was like, they want us sick and uneducated or something like that. And I was like, yeah. Lisa, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. We get all worked up around here. We really do. Anyway, you should attend that meeting if you've got anything to offer. 3 p.m., Zona del Sol, 6600 Valentine Way. And we'll be interested to see what comes out of that meeting and what comes out of this effort. I hope something. I'm so tired of these problems that are always the same and never, ever change. I really don't understand it at all. I have to make a mental note to ask Seth Biederman to talk about this topic the next time he is on to talk about school and education. I never really liked school that much when I was younger, but then I liked it a lot more when I was older. You, Gina, school guy?
I did all right.
Yeah.
You know, high school, graduated, didn't even have to try. It was pretty easy. Oh. College, a couple years. You know, it's more about what you want to study, you know, than what they make you study with me.
I liked third grade because we had rabbits in the classroom. I thought that was fun. I like rabbits. And I didn't mind high school that much because I was in an all-girls school in the middle of nowhere. So it was kind of, you know, low-key. All righty. Attorney General Gary King calling upon federal regulators to restrict advertising and sales to minors for, can anyone guess? You're the only one here.
I can't guess.
E-cigarettes. Have you seen these electronic cigarettes, vapors?
Yeah, actually, I do see the youth roaming around town with those little electric cigarettes and sucking on them all over the place.
Yeah, they're very popular. I haven't noticed them as popular here, but whenever you go to a city, it's like this huge thing that people are vaping. They say, well, the AG is not having any of it. In a letter that he signed, 39 other state attorneys general signed it as well. Attorney General Gary King is asking Margaret Hamburg, who's commissioner of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, to use the FDA authority under the Tobacco Control Act to regulate the advertising of e-cigarettes and also prevent the sale of them to minors. If you don't know what these are, e-cigarettes they're battery operated and they deliver nicotine by using heated liquid nicotine into a vapor that you then inhale, thus vaping. That's what they call it. Quote from A.G. King, right now there are no federal aid restrictions to prevent minors from using these nicotine delivery products. Quote, it is fairly common knowledge that nicotine is highly addictive and has immediate biochemical effects on the brain and body at any dosage and is toxic in high doses. As an organic chemist myself, I well understand the negative health risks e-cigarettes pose to young people. I forgot King was a chemist. I totally forgot that because I'm so used to him just being a lawyer. I forgot he was also an organic chemist and a saxophone player and a man who wears an interesting tie. Always has the tie on. I can't believe that there's no age restrictions on these. I didn't realize that. I didn't know that you could just buy these no matter how old you are.
There most definitely should be restrictions because there's cigarettes, nicotine, same thing. Probably highly addictive, most likely.
That's really surprising. That's a total kind of loophole given how crazy about carting we are in the society for everything. I can't believe you're allowed to buy those. Crazy. Anyway, so they're asking for that. And the press release from the Attorney General also talks about a survey that was conducted by the CDC that shows that from 2011 to 2012, the percentage of young people who tried or currently use e-cigarettes roughly doubled. Hey. And he says that e-cigarette manufacturers are using marketing tactics that are similar to those big tobacco used in the last 50 to 100 years. Well, we know how that all turned out, don't we? Alrighty. Hey, 8:59 a.m., we're going to take a quick break. We're going to bring you the Prairie Dog Minute with Elliot Fisher, and then we'll be back in the 9 o'clock hour here on KVSF 101.5, the Voice of Santa Fe, streaming live on santafe.com. Stick around.
This Prairie Dog Minute is brought to you by Jackalope on Cerrillos in Santa Fe. Come by and check out the Prairie Dog Village. Jackalope, where shopping is a trip.
Prairie dogs are about 15 inches long and weigh 2 to 4 pounds, about as much as a can of soup.
The voice of Santa Fe is KVSF FM 101.5 Pecos Santa Fe. Streaming on santafe.com. Now, broadcasting live from the Hutton Broadcasting Media Center in the heart of Santa Fe. A highly opinionated, intelligent, funny, informed, and sometimes a little too serious, Julia Goldberg. Don't miss a beat. Only on the new KVSF 101.5, the voice of Santa Fe.
Hey there, Santa Fe, 9:06 a.m. here on Wednesday, September 25th. You are listening to KVSF 101.5, the Voice of Santa Fe. Oh, and I am sorry to say I'm losing my voice again. Losing it. So, just got word from the city that for the next 2 weeks, water is going to run in the Santa Fe River. That is right. Santa Fe River is currently flowing through Santa Fe. The recent rainfall and the upgrade of the Nichols Dam have allowed the city of Santa Fe to send approximately 1.25 million gallons per day into the river. Some of that flow is to support a living Santa Fe River. Some's going to drain the Nichols Reservoir for the construction project they've got going there. Now, according to a release from the city, river water is flowing because Nichols Dam has been taken out of service and water levels have to be drawn down for the removal of the existing intake tower. Does this have anything to do with that fuel line break? The intake tower is the structure that funnels water to the treatment plant. The water in Nichols Reservoir is typically treated at the Canyon Road Water Treatment Plant and delivered to consumers, while a portion can be bypassed to the Santa Fe River as part of the Living River Program. Living River Program, if you don't know, is a program that says rivers should have water in them. Ergo, that's why they're called rivers. September rainfall, as you can imagine, has made a big impact on the reservoir storage. McClure Reservoir is at 81% capacity with an inflow rate of approximately 12 million gallons per day. Man, it's so awesome. I'm so happy. As recently as September 12th, the McClure Reservoir was at approximately 30% of capacity. It is amazing to me that rain can make this. I don't know. Am I like a moron? It's like I'm really kind of like shocked at the idea that like rain makes a difference in our drought. Because usually it just seems like when it rains here, it's like, well, it rained, but it just didn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Nothing matters. We're in a drought. There's no water left. It's over. So I'm kind of shocked that it actually rained and made a difference. No? Do you not feel that way?
I know it rained for weeks straight, and my weeds are growing out of control in my backyard.
I know. I can barely get in my house. I feel like the entire house is like wrapped in weeds. So I'm just sort of ignoring the entire situation.
It's like, oh.
I'll die soon enough. Here is a quote from Brian Dreifholker, River and Watershed Coordinator for the City of Santa Fe. Quote, the timing of recent rainfall and the infrastructure improvements at Nichols Reservoir has worked out very well for the objectives of the city Santa Fe River Target Flow Program. We're moving water down the river before plants go dormant for the winter. The flowing water looks great, sounds great, and it comes at a time that's good for the ecosystems along the river. God, it's so nice. I'm so happy. It just seems so rare that we ever get to be happy about anything involving water around here.
Open up a good book and sit by the river.
All right, then.
That's my plan.
That sounds like a good plan. What's the good book going to be? It's not going to be the Bible, is it?
No, I've read that many times.
Have you?
I have.
Are you religious?
I'm more spiritual than religious.
Oh, okay.
But reading Game of Thrones book 5. It's very addictive.
All right, I actually have not read the Game of Thrones books.
I'm sure you know people who have.
Everyone I know has, and they've all encouraged me to do so.
Once you start, you can't stop.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I don't have time to read 900-page books right now. That, to me, is like vacation reading or like get on an airplane reading. I read all the Hunger Games books on an international flight back to back.
That's a lot of reading too.
Yeah, there was like 3,000 pages. It was kind of depressing. Have you read those?
I haven't. I've seen the movie though.
Yeah, they're kind of, the books are better than the movies. The movies
books are always better than the movies. Mostly always.
Yeah, mostly. Or sometimes they're all just equally bad, like the Twilight books and movies. Then they're all just bad.
I don't know. There's something about vampires. I enjoyed it.
Did you like the Twilight movies?
Just vampires and wolves and Native Americans turning into wolves. It's cool.
Yeah, because you're a Native American.
I am.
And you would like to be a wolf.
I'd like to turn into a wolf.
It's funny that you went to it, because when we went to it, I dragged Mike, and it was like me, Mike, and like an entire theater of 13-year-old girls covered in glitter. Mike was like, I think her unicorn backpack just hit me in the arm. Like, it's going to be okay. And every time there was a boy without a shirt on it, everybody was squealing. I thought it was hilarious. And Mike was convinced that all the shirtless boys had been like photoshopped or something. He just was not believing that they were real torsos. I was like, yep. That's what it looks like. I felt kind of uncomfortable even looking at it. It's like underage male torso action. It just none of it seemed right on any level. It was a hard experience for me. Oh, those were the worst movies. Just the worst movies in the world. Did you see World War Z?
You know, I haven't seen that yet.
You should see it.
I love me some zombies.
Yeah, it was pretty good. They have this like whole swarming zombie effect that's pretty cool.
Like ants. Yeah. It reminded me of ants in the trailers. They look like little ants crawling all over each other.
I thought it was pretty decent. I mean, Brad Pitt's a huge tool, but I mean, even though he was in it, I thought it was good.
Yeah, he's not all that great. Interview with the Vampire was good.
That was a really long time ago.
It was.
Oh, the 90s or the 80s, really. Yeah, so John was talking about the story earlier, but for some reason I was having trouble understanding him. But I guess what he's saying is that the National Weather Service is saying that 75% of the state is still under moderate to severe drought conditions, and we're still behind a 36-month average for rain. I guess I just don't understand what that means exactly. But I guess in Santa Fe, things are better. And since I'm in Santa Fe, that works for me. Oh, my God. I'm choking to death. Coming up this hour, 9:30 a.m., I will be sitting with Julie Angrim. Now, normally on Wednesday mornings, Enrique Limon comes and visits with me to talk about the arts and culture section of The Reporter. But Enrique is in California. So coming in his stead, Julie Angrim, who's the new editor of The Reporter, she's going to come in. It's going to be great because it'll be the first chance I've had to visit with her. We were actually supposed to have dinner 2 weeks ago, but then I got this disgusting like hacking virus, and I've been just canceling everything left and right because it's not that fun to hang out with me right now. All I do is cough, and if I'm not coughing, I'm complaining about coughing, so it's pretty boring. This week's reporter is taking a look at that new ban on plastic bags that's just gone into effect, and they've also got a story about this debate over whether or not the city of Santa Fe should take over the electric company. We already took over the water company. Hey, Dana, do we have time for that wine and chili situation now or not really?
No, let's do it.
Okay, we're going to give you another interview to go along with wine and chili fiesta.
Hi, this is Lynn Klein, the gourmet girl from SantaFe.com, and I'm here with Glenda Griswold of the lovely new restaurant in Santa Fe, Terracotta Wine Bistro. She and her partner, Catherine O'Brien from Peas and Pods Catering, recently opened Terracotta to rave reviews, and I've been there myself, and I can attest that the reviews are correct. Anyway, how are you, Glenda?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Good, it's nice to see you.
You too, Lynn.
So tell us a little bit about what you'll be preparing for the grand tasting event for the upcoming wine and chili. Fiesta.
We're really looking forward, first of all, to doing this because after, you know, being here in Santa Fe for 17 years, this is our first opportunity to participate in this because as a catering company, you're not invited to do it, but as a restaurant,
of course,
you are.
You can.
So it's kind of our first big perk in a sense of going into the restaurant end of the food service business here in Santa Fe. So, and actually, you know, Catherine and I talked quite a bit about what we wanted to do, and obviously we want to showcase Terracotta and do things that are typical of what we would have on the menu. So we've decided to feature a chilled cucumber and feta soup, and also our fig bruschetta with, aren't sure if it's going to be brie or crumbled gorgonzola on top of that.
Oh my God, either one of those, or how about both?
Yeah, maybe both, who knows? You know, we decided definitely to go in the cold vein of things for, you know, a couple of reasons.
Right.
First of all, it's always warm at the end of September.
That's true.
From years of catering and doing big events, if not this, at least similar to this, it's always better to keep things kind of on the simple end of things. Give people a good taste, a good flavor experience, but not get so carried away.
Right, exactly.
Just standing over a hot stove all afternoon long, melting in the...
Yeah, in the hot sun.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds lovely. It sounds delicious.
Thank you.
I can't wait to try it. I'll certainly be there. It's one of the best food events of the year.
It definitely is.
Great. Well, nice to see you.
You too.
Thanks for stopping by.
Sure.
Take care.
You too.
Need to re-register your car? Why not skip the trip? Simply call 505-323-0408 and a friendly MV Express phone operator will take care of everything. MV Express, you deserve it.
Looking for high-quality patient care in urology? Turn to Los Alamos Medical Center. Dr. James G. Knight has over 30 years of experience and is one of the leading experts in his field. Now you can find him at Los Alamos Medical Center. Call 505-661-9150. Make an appointment with Dr. Knight and receive high-quality urological care. The place where patients choose to come for quality health care is Los Alamos Medical Center, caring for our communities for more than 60 years. The Yours, Mine, and Ours, We're Moving In Together storage solution. Aztec Self-Storage off the 599 on Old Airport Road and Santa Fe Self-Storage on 3rd Street and Cerritos. The safe, secure, so you can relax storage solution. SantaFeSelfStorage.com.
This year marks the fifth installment of Superb Films for the Santa Fe Independent Film Festival. October 16th through 20th, experience 5 days of independent film screening, community events, and education workshops at the Lensic, CCA, The Screen, Warehouse 21, and more. Special guests include boxer Johnny Tapia, directors Noah and Logan Miller, The Pope of Trash, John Waters, and a special Native American fashion show featuring Project Runway's Patricia Michaels. For 5 nights of the hottest parties in town, don't miss the Santa Fe Independent Film Festival. For more info, visit Santa Fe Independent. IndependentFilmFestival.com.
What does it mean to be Santa Fe's free alternative? It means we have better writing. It means there is no compromise. It means that we are picked up by locals and thousands of visitors alike. It means we're the voice of Santa Fe. Pick up a copy of The Reporter in Santa Fe, Albuquerque, and Taos today, and check us out 24/7 at sfreporter.com. The Santa Fe Reporter, Santa Fe's true alternative voice.
Hi, this is Jan.
Hi, Jan. I'd like to schedule a test drive for my husband.
Great. Which car?
Camry.
Camry is one of our most popular models.
Well, he's crazy about it.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Ever since our neighbor's got a Camry, he's been obsessed.
It is an easy car to fall in love with.
Yeah, but he's been watering the same plant in our front yard for hours just so he can stare at it. I think he's scaring the neighbors. I know he's freaking me out.
We better get him in for a test drive ASAP.
Experience the legendary Camry at your local Toyota dealer. Quiet, comfortable interior, available leather trim seats, and ultra smooth ride. Book a test drive and discover what you've been missing. To learn more, visit your dealer today. Toyota, let's go places.
Visit Beaver Toyota in Santa Fe, or for more information, please log on to Toyota.com. Toyota.
They call me Murphy, and I'm a service tech at Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center. It was 9:30 on a Saturday morning, and a Kona Blue Mustang drove in.
I'm due for a tire rotation. Overdue, I'm sure.
Well, better late than never. I poured her a cup of coffee, black.
Hey, can I hop on Wi-Fi?
Sure thing, no charge. She checked her emails, and I checked the tires. Pressure was low in one.
Is it bad?
It's below the manufacturer's recommendation. Could affect your fuel economy. I properly inflated the tires, then rotated and aligned them. Did our quick lane multi-point inspection, too. Looked good. Took about a half hour, tops. Well, you're all set.
Thanks for fitting me in.
We always do. A quick lane tech is always ready to serve.
Get extraordinary service for routine maintenance at Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center. With a full range of services, great prices on 13 name brand tires, and no appointment necessary. Quick Lane is ready to serve. Visit quicklane.com.
Listen to Art on the Radio with me, Catherine M. Davis, every week on Friday mornings at 11 o'clock. I host Art Beat, a show about art in Santa Fe, and nope, it's not about cowboys, clay pots, and coyotes. On Art Beat, we're just as likely to focus on the absence of the art object as a work of art as we are to consider an artful way of life. My guests include artists, gallery directors, museum curators, collectors, and other art historians like me. Art Beat, Fridays at 11 on KVSF 101.5, The Voice of Santa Fe.
Best weekend programming in Santa Fe, including local real estate mogul Ray Post hosting all things real estate and something to help you calm your brain. A Matter of the Mind with Mark Perry, only on KVSF 101.5, The Voice of Santa Fe. You're listening to the Julia Goldberg Morning Show, the only local talk about Santa Fe politics and whatever's on Julia's mind. On the new KVSF 101.5, The Voice of Santa Fe, streaming on SantaFe.com.
Hey there, Santa Fe, 9:21 a.m. here on Wednesday, September 25th. I hope you've gotten safely to work, or if you don't have to work, I hope that you are enjoying your life. No, I'm just kidding. If you are independently wealthy, feel free to send a check, too. Now, I hope that whatever you're doing this morning, you are enjoying the beautiful fall day. Is fall weather just the best thing ever? I think it is the best thing ever. So I'm trying to figure out, because we had this story like 6 weeks ago, or maybe like 3 weeks ago, but I'm a little bit confused about why this is being re-reported today by all the media outlets, but it is. I'm looking at the Albuquerque Journal, and they are talking about this new State Department of Health Birds and Bees Hotline. Do you remember me talking about this, John, the Birds and Bees Hotline?
Yeah, a little bit.
So what it is a state-sponsored text messaging service that answers questions about the birds and the bees, which some of us grown-ups call sex. In fact, I really never call it the birds and the bees. But anyway, I am not a teenager, who I'm sure also doesn't call it the birds and the bees. Basically, you can use this text hotline and send questions to a health educator, and you will get an answer within 24 hours and usually within 6 to 8 hours. It's funded through a $65,000 federal grant, and teens ages 13 to 19 can text NM Teen. Parents can text NM Parent to 66746 to ask sex questions or sections. No, that's not right. Questions in either English or Spanish. But my favorite part about this Albuquerque Journal story is this line that says, however, KRQE reports that questions about technique won't be answered. Okay, good to know. If that's not funny enough for you, here's some Onion Radio.
New at the Onion Radio News, photos. It may not work, but we think radio audiences will really like actually seeing photos while they listen to the news. We just have to figure out how to show them over the radio. One thing's for sure, we'll be buying all our photos from Shutterstock.com, where you can find the perfect image or video for your next creative project, whether it's for your website, a publication, an advertisement, or a radio show. Choose from over 20 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips by professional photographers. Shutterstock reviews each image individually for content and quality before adding it to its library, and they add 10,000 images every day. Here's a photo I found for a news story I'm working on about a cat stuck in a tree. I think our listeners are going to love it, even if it's just me describing it. The cat is hanging from a branch, and it's very cute. He's orange. You've just got to see it. Try Shutterstock for yourself. No credit card needed. Just start an account and use offer code TheOnion11, and new accounts will receive 30% off any package. That's Shutterstock. Stock.com, and for 30% off new accounts, use offer code THEONION11. Offer codes are expected to change each month. All of us at The Onion Radio News appreciate Shutterstock's support of The Onion. Now, watch this.
A deadly new virus is found to be real squiggly. It's the Onion Radio News. I'm Doyle Redland. Doctors at UCLA announced the stunning discovery that the deadly coelathoxin virus is real squiggly-like. Head researcher Andover Hausen.
Now that we understand the virus's squiggly nature, we're in a better position to assess its other characteristics, such as its overall wiggliness.
Doctors don't yet know if the deadly virus is sticky, smushy, or how blobby it is. The covenant between Abraham and the God of the Hebrews expired today, setting off fierce renegotiations between Jews and God's legal counsel. Hollywood super agent Mike Ovitz is negotiating for the Jews.
If God thinks we're just going to roll over and re-sign, he's got another thing coming.
Jews are hoping for a package deal, retaining their status as the chosen people, but with an additional 6% on the back end. An extra-large sweater was worn today by college junior Jody Meyer in what witnesses say was an attempt to cloak her huge ass. The sweater, a hunter green cotton roll neck, came down past the waist and well over Meyer's buttocks, stopping 3 inches above her knees. Meyer, who has reportedly said that she just likes the baggy feel, could not be reached for comment. Her roommate Cindy, however, claims Meyer is self-conscious about her huge ass. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News. Pick up The Onion at your newsstand or visit theonion.com.
Do you think it's weird that I feel proud of the fact that I made you laugh and spit your granola bar into the...
You didn't need to tell anybody that.
I do.
Dude, it's really bugging me.
Where is it spit? Oh, it's right there in your keyboard.
It's right on the number 9.
Oh, and what are you afraid about getting it out?
If I try to, it'll stop the recording.
Why don't you use a paper clip?
Good idea.
Yeah, I have lots of experience at making myself laugh and spitting food into the keyboard. So do it all the time. Actually, not so often. I'm afraid to have any food or drink near computer stuff. I've had so many like horrible mishaps over the years and have witnessed many a horrible mishap over the year as well. You know what else is weird is that I don't cook at all, but I really look forward to the taste section in the New Mexican. I get really excited reading about using overgrown zucchinis to make like stuffed squashes, even though I would never do such a thing because I'm bad at stuff like that. You, John, do you cook?
Not so much. Yeah, not so good at cooking.
Yeah.
Anything that requires a microwave is like what I do, you know.
Really? So you don't cook. Clean?
Yeah, clean.
Yeah, clean. Any interests at all, John?
Firefighting.
You want to talk about that?
Not really.
All right. Do you want to read the news?
That'd be great.
It's time for Santa Fe local news with John Califf, firefighter and professional newsman. Get the daily local podcasts on santafe.com.
Those rains earlier this month have provided some relief for the drought here in New Mexico, particularly areas of the state that were hardest hit. The Santa Fe New Mexican reports that 75% of the state is still experiencing moderate to severe drought conditions. Rains did help out on filling some reservoirs to capacity, which should help out with some farmers this next year. The Elephant Butte Reservoir gained about 50,000 acre-feet of water from the storms. It can hold about 2 million. The Pecos River received enough water that the Carlsbad Irrigation District says it was able to release some water to Texas. The Historic Design Review Board has postponed consideration of a request by Greer Enterprises to make some changes to the facade at the Plaza Galleria. That business is located down on the Santa Fe Plaza. The Albuquerque Journal reports that board members voiced concerns that proposed changes were not in keeping with the building's historic nature. Greer Enterprises wants 2 exceptions to city rules that govern historic districts to remove some historic material and also change some entrances. The Chevron Molybdenum mine near the village of Cuesta is looking into an alternative way to dispose of tailings. That's material that's left over from the mining process. The Santa Fe New Mexican is reporting that the Chevron company is hoping to convert from slurry to paste tailings. That would mean that a tailings pond and a pipeline would be taken out of commission, reducing a risk of contaminating water and also speed up the cleanup for the mine. An $800,000 mine cleanup was ordered by the EPA today to prevent any more contamination of Red River. The site was listed as a Superfund site back in 2011. The National Weather Service is saying sunny skies today with a high temp near 77.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Now you're up to date with local news from SantaFe.com. Brought to you by Camel Rock Casino.
You know what I should never do? I should never start typing on Facebook while I'm on the radio, because now I'm confused and distracted by myself. Hey, it's 9:30 a.m. and we're going to be taking a quick break. But when we come back, Julie Ann Graham, the relatively new editor of the Santa Fe Reporter, will be joining me. We're going to talk about this week's reporter, and then I also want to get her take on some other stuff. Oh, yes, I do. So please stick around. You are listening to KVSF 101.5, The Voice of Santa Fe. We're streaming live on SantaFe.com, and we'll be right back.
Crystal Springs bottled water. You have to try it to like it. Oh, you like it because it's that good.
Hey, man, here, have a Coke Zero. I don't watch the game without it.
Okay.
With Coke Zero, I can have real Coke taste and zero calories. If they can do that, then what else is possible?
How about a quarterback who throws touchdown passes
and then catches them himself in the end zone?
He throws it deep. Wait, he catches his own pass. Touchdown. Weird.
Like cheerleaders who cheer
and deliver sandwiches.
Someone wanted sandwiches.
I love your sandwiches.
What if the bear mascot was a real bear?
And our linebacker!
They're gonna need a lot more quarterbacks.
Coke Zero. Real Coke taste and zero calories. Enjoy everything.
Want a fail-safe way to enjoy everything this year? Head over to your neighborhood Walmart and pick up an ice-cold 20-pack of Coke Zero for $5.48. Real Coke taste and zero calories. Two amazing things combined to make one super amazing thing. If they can do that, then what else is possible? Coke Zero and Walmart. Enjoy real Coke taste and zero calories. Enjoy everything.
Camel Rock Casino, proud to announce your local news done locally. Camel Rock Casino, bringing Santa Fe the ultimate casino experience with great promotions and giveaways. Go to Camel Rock Casino for more information.
September is the time to get your game on at Camel Rock Casino for cash and free play. Receive free entry tickets daily when you're at Camel Rock and receive additional tickets with play for a chance to win a share of $20,000 on Friday, September 13th and again on Friday, September 27th. And hey, football fans, come out to Camel Rock Casino for your chance to pick the pros every week through the NFL season. Pick the Pros is exclusively for Club Rock members, so sign up for free membership, then grab your Pick the Pros giveaway card. Each week, pick the most winning teams for a chance to win cash prizes for weekly, monthly, and season best pro picks. Don't know football? Camel Rock's Pick the Pros also has cash prizes for the worst number of weekly, monthly, and season pro picks. Make sure you turn in your game picks by 11:30 a.m. every Sunday, and then watch all the games at the Fire and Ice Bar located inside Camel Rock Casino. Camel Rock Casino, conveniently located just 10 miles north of Santa Fe, when you just gotta have fun.
And now back to the sultry, scandalous, highly allergetic, and animal-friendly Julia Goldberg Morning Show on KVSF 101.5, The Voice of Santa Fe.
Hey there, Santa Fe. 9:33 a.m. here on Wednesday, September 27th. And Wednesdays for my whole life has meant one thing. It's meant the Santa Fe Reporter hits the stands, and my guest in the studio with me knows and is probably learning a lot about that. Miss Julie Ann Graham, new editor of the Santa Fe Reporter. It's fair to call you the new editor, right?
I think so. I just passed my 1 month anniversary at the Reporter on Monday.
Wow, that went by quick, huh?
It did, very quickly.
Cool. Well, talk to me when you hit 10 years. No, I'm just kidding. This is horrible.
I hope to do that, Julia.
Good. I hope you do too. That'd be awesome. So, how's it been going so far? A big change coming from the city desk at the New Mexican?
It is. I wondered if I would have a bit of an identity crisis. You know, I've been a journalist in New Mexico for 13 years. 10 of them I spent at the New Mexican, mostly covering City Hall and going across the street. You know, as you know, the Reporter office is just
next door,
literally on the other side of Otero. So I wondered what that would feel like. And I'm happy to report that it feels great.
Cool. How do the buildings compare?
Oh, goodness. Well, the New Mexican went through a really serious renovation. I think it's now been almost 7 years ago. So it used to be kind of your typical crowded, crappy office, but they spent a lot of money to make it a wonderful, beautiful space with these windows. And so leaving that to a little bit of a smaller situation at the Reporter and less updated,
yeah.
You know, that's, but I do have a window that opens real near my desk, as you know.
Yes.
That's nice.
Well, I'll tell you something here. I'm going to give you some tips about that window. Never leave it open because someone might steal your computer. That happened to me. And also, it's great people watching because that bench, people, a lot of crazy things happen on that bench. A lot of pot smoking and some police action, breakups. I mean, you name it. Like, that bench is a weird nexus.
I've already witnessed a little bit of that. You know, this window, for those of you who don't know, it's you can really stick your hand out and touch someone who's standing on the sidewalk. And so what that means is that you hear a variety of conversations throughout the day. And I just am waiting for someone to stick their hand back through.
Well, it's crazy because you feel like they don't seem like they notice that anyone's sitting there.
So no, and you're right there. You're just 3 feet away from them. So it is interesting.
Totally. Well, the best thing is when the bathrooms break and you have to go to the bathroom all day at the public library.
Well, actually, now that Mello Velo's there, when that happens, we have to go to the bathroom all day at Mello Velo.
Oh, that's better.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
That's cool.
Okay. Well, those consist of everything I learned from 15 years working at the Reporter. So you now know everything I know. So this week's issue of the Santa Fe Reporter on the streets today, and you guys are looking at a bunch of very timely issues. That's in no particular order. Plastic bag ban.
Yeah, the plastic bag ban goes into effect on February 27th. And, you know, people are making jokes about hoarding bags, but I'm sure that they'll be, you know, we'll all still be using the bags that are under the kitchen sink for a couple months after that. But you won't be picking up new ones when you go to the grocery store. Or, you know, yesterday I went to the pet food store, and for some reason they've decided to sell my little cat food cans individually instead of on a cardboard tray. Mm. So if I forget to take a bag in, I have to take a bag out.
Oh, I see.
I feel ashamed, and now I've confessed, and I feel better.
Because I've sort of taken it for granted that everybody knows exactly what's going on with this plastic bag ban, but actually people don't because people keep asking me weird questions about it. They're still going to be able to get them at like the drugstore and other places, right?
Well, what matters is the thickness of bag that your store is passing out. The traditional bag, like the one you get at Walmart, Albertsons, Smith's, Walgreens, it's a 2.25 mil or thinner bag, which is just a mil is 1/1000th of an inch. So most of the bags that they're passing out today for most of your purchases, you're not going to see anymore. Mm. Stores have the option of buying thicker bags, which we may see some of, you know, the kind of bags like you would see, if you buy a greeting card and they give you that thicker bag at the Hallmark store. Sometimes you get a thicker bag when you go to like a department store. Those will still be around.
Okay.
And stores will have the option of getting paper bags, but then they are required to charge you a fee to try to discourage you from buying the paper bag.
Right. Unless you're on assistance and then you don't have to pay for the bag.
Right.
Like food stamps.
Right. And I think it's, you know, if you're making your purchase with, you know, a WIC card or the like,
right,
then, you know, they know they're not supposed to charge you.
So given that this is a done deal and the council passed it, I haven't been able to read the story yet because we get the Reporter a little bit late on the south side of town. But I will, of course, read it. Given that it's a done deal, were you finding that there's still people kind of bucking against it? Do you think there's any coming back from this, or it's done and people need to suck it up?
Well, we are talking about the Santa Fe City Council, so there's always coming back from everything.
That's true.
However, you know, the council's not going to change. The composition of the council won't change before the ban goes into effect, which is really just about 2 weeks before the next city election is when the ban is supposed to start.
Mm.
You know, I think that the Chamber of Commerce really made an effort early on to try to dissuade them from going down this road, but it's my impression that they've backed off a little bit. You know, they certainly still, they don't favor the ban, but I don't see them trying to overturn it at this point.
I think that proponents were smart to use children because it's really, really hard to be like, I don't care, little girl, if you're sad about the environment.
Right. Well, and you know, you really need to give some credit to the parents of the children too. There's a guy named Tony Ortiz who's a lawyer in town, and his wife, and I'm sorry, I'm not remembering your first name. She is a teacher at Wood Gormley, and their daughters and their friends, you know, were willing to come to City Hall. I personally saw them at least 8 times.
Wow.
So they would come in. Sometimes they would have little signs. One day Sophia wore a T-shirt with Kermit the Frog on it, and her little speech said, "It's not easy being green, but if LA can do it, so can we." So I do think that the kids made a convincing argument. And I don't know that in this case it was really that they were getting used by anyone. I think it was that they saw this as a way that they could, you know, have a voice and participate in democracy, which I don't know about you, but that kind of makes me excited.
I'm like, whatever. No, it is sweet. And actually, I have found a lot over the last few years. One thing I'm kind of amazed by is how much authentically not just like college students, but going all the way down to elementary students, like there's something really sparks in them about environmental issues that I think is very authentic and, you know, is helpful in those sort of political arguments. Cause it really is hard to tell a little kid like, oh yeah, sorry, there's not going to be any environment left for you. So, plus some of the facts around plastic bags that I did not know before a student of mine wrote an article about it are really alarming and scary. Like with the sea creatures eating the plastic bags and like suffocating to death, and it's depressing.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that Mia Rose points out in the story that she wrote, that most of the places that have imposed a regulation on plastic bags, like the one that we're going to experience, they're marine communities, they're coastal communities. So that argument is really strong. And here, I think that officials kind of what they wrote into the rules was the litter argument.
Yeah.
We've all seen what somebody in the story refers to as like the New Mexico state flower,
right.
Which is a plastic bag stuck in a cholla.
Yeah.
You know, we obviously have a lot of lovely wildflowers here, and that's kind of a bad joke. But it's a bad joke when you drive down Airport Road and you see fields of cholla with fields of plastic in them.
No, it's super. I run here on the south side, and I mean, it's like it's a trash heap. I mean, it's amazing, the litter problem.
I think the other thing that's interesting about the plastic bag ordinance and why it maybe got the traction that it got is really that people are sick of this disposable culture, this throwaway society that we live in. And I think that the plastic bag is symbolic in a lot of ways more than it's really, you know, a tangible thing that's going to save the planet. It's like changing the way you think about what you use and what you throw away is what maybe could save us a little.
We stopped using them. I mean, every now and then we slip, but we stopped like years ago just because I got mad at how many there were in the house. It was kind of grossing me out. Like, what are we doing with these?
Right.
So.
And every time I decide that it's time to recycle the stash of plastic bags, then I drive around with the bag of bags in the trunk until it rips open. Then when I open the trunk, the bags get caught by the breeze. And it's really an ugly scene, at least in my world.
I like it. I'm glad I'm not the only person that has these experiences. So another hot topic that I think actually is going to increase in controversial velocity is this issue of whether or not the city should buy the electric company. You guys covered the forum about it this week?
Yeah, Justin Horwath wrote a story about that this week. And this is something that's been getting kicked around in our community in various forms for a while. You know, kind of the local ownership of the energy systems is not a new idea, obviously. But there is a new energy economy, a nonprofit that decided they wanted to study this. They did it in cooperation with the governments, and they came up with some figures about what it would cost and potentially, you know, what they think it could save, you know, residents to do this in the long term. And so that's really what they're looking at. And these are big numbers, Julia. This is $155 million at least. $255 million if they have to argue with PNM, which seems likely.
Definitely.
And then I think still there's a third set of numbers that isn't in the story today that, you know, what does PNM really see as the value of this system? And what's their sort of, what number would they throw out, you know, on the table? So I'm not sure how much traction that idea really will get given the price tag.
All right. Julianne Grimm, editor of the Santa Fe Reporter. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to respond to what Julianne just said. And we'll also talk about the rest of the Santa Fe Reporter, this week's edition, Out on the Streets right now. It's 9:44 a.m. We'll be right back here on KVSF 101.5, The Voice of Santa Fe.
It's been proven that Crystal Springs bottled water will improve your workplace environment. How you ask? Because it's that good.
Henry Valencia and Zia Credit Union are teaming up. For 3 days only, you can choose from hundreds of vehicles, new and used, certified used, foreign and domestic cars or trucks. Even utility vehicles qualify. All vehicles will have prices clearly marked on the windshield, and you can take immediate delivery. Don't worry about past credit problems or your current payoff. Plus, we'll give you top dollar for your trade. Don't miss out this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at Henry Valencia Chevrolet Buick GMC on the Chama Highway in Española.
As part of the ongoing effort to keep the roads of New Mexico safe, we would like to share a list of things you should never attempt behind the wheel of your automobile.
Texting your friends, wrestling your friends, eating a sandwich, making a sandwich, hugging your kids, buckling your kids, brushing your hair, brushing your teeth, flossing your teeth, adjusting your seat, rubbing your feet, reading the paper, using a shaver, applying makeup,
you get the point. A large number of car crashes occur when the driver is doing something other than driving. Drive safe, New Mexico.
Paid for by the New Mexico Department of Transportation and aired in cooperation with the NMBA and the station.
Hi, Dad. How are you? Just asking because I care. I just want to know if you care.
Like mothers, dads matter. It's a fact. When fathers and mothers work together as parents, a child is more likely to enjoy school, get higher grades, and develop positive attitudes and behavior. Kids with a caring father figure and mother grow up to live healthier lives, become more compassionate adults, and enjoy stronger relationships. If you're a father or a father figure, no matter where you live, take time today to connect with your child. Just a few minutes can make all the difference. Because being a father is not something you are, it's something you do. Dads and moms, working together, help their children to thrive.
Brought to you by Real Fathers, supporting our fathers and families with Youth Media Project, Adelante, and LANB, creating a better way.
You're wired into the Julia Goldberg Morning Show, streaming on SantaFe.com.
AM here on KVSF 101.5, and joining me in the studio is Julianne Grimm, editor of the Santa Fe Reporter. And before the break, we were talking about this potential idea of the city taking over the electric company. And you don't think it's has much traction. I don't know why. I just have the feeling, especially with the mayoral election and some of the candidates already kind of getting involved with PRC politics and stuff, I feel like it could be an issue. But you're right, it's expensive.
Yeah, I think the city budget is definitely going to be an issue in the upcoming election, and sort of how the candidates decide where they're going to come down on it. You know, you've also got the city losing money from the hold harmless provision. Yeah. That's going to amount to $10 million annually by the time the state takes back all that money, a decade at least from now, I think 16 years from now.
That food tax thing that happened in the last session was a mess. I'm surprised that people didn't scream more loudly than they did.
And so if you're looking at the city bonding for $300 million, which would raise property taxes, in addition to trying to deal with this other money going away from the cash they're used to having, I think it's a hard sell at this point. And I told you during the break, nobody is, jumping up and down like me, I'll take this on. I want to sponsor this.
Right. So. Well, that makes a difference. I will say I was surprised when voters agreed to buy the water company. I never thought that would happen. It was sort of the same thing where people were like, really? Can we afford to do this? And then, but I think they had a good argument for it at the time. So.
And I think that what bore out in that scenario was that PNM had made deals with a lot of developers to provide water, and the city wasn't really able to honor all of that, or in honoring it, it would have really caused other problems in the water system. And so I don't know if those kind of problems would exist with the transfer of the electric utility, or if it's a little more sophisticated and just a paperwork thing for the government.
Right. Well, I do think that their best bet is this argument about renewables, because I think that's where people get you know, start seeing the wisdom in doing that or the excitement in doing that.
Yeah.
So we will see. Now, I'm curious, Julianne, what your thoughts were on Governor Martinez's recent release of her calendar online, because this, if I'm recalling correctly, was one of the pieces of information the reporter had sought and did not receive and prompted the lawsuit that the reporter filed against the governor's office.
Yeah, we made 7 claims of violations of the Inspection of Public Records Act, where we asked for documents under the law that we feel should have been provided under the law, and they weren't. And you're right, one of them was the governor's calendar. And where we kind of come down on this release of information, the backstory of the release is that the Foundation for Open Government went to the governor and negotiated with the governor's staff about this piece of information. And the result of that was this new information on the website. And in requesting the calendar, we were looking for the original documents that show, you know, where the governor went and who she was scheduled to meet with during, you know, all of her time in office, you know, her doing the public's business. This is a document that's clearly defined in the law as being public. And so what we can only speculate happened is that they used that actual document to update the website and add some more information to the public calendar. We're really glad that they did that. We think that's a step in the right direction, but it's not the real document. It's not the piece of paper that the public is entitled to. And so it's not complying with the law, and it doesn't satisfy us.
What is the status of the lawsuit? I know it was just filed. So.
Yeah, it was just filed. They're still in the process of getting it, I think, assigned with the judge that it will finally fall to. And the governor's office has yet to respond. You know, they have about 30 days after you file to file a formal written response to the complaint. So that will kind of be the next interesting thing. And we have had no communication from them about that. So I'm just standing by to stand by.
Has the paper put in any requests since that have been treated any differently in terms of requests for comments or information?
No, we've put requests in. No, we haven't been treated any differently. You know, one of the claims that we make in the lawsuit is that the spokesman for the governor's office, Enrique Neal, has not returned a phone call to the reporter for several months. Mm-hmm. We did play phone tag briefly when I first took the position at the helm of the reporter, but you know, as far as granting interviews or replying to messages, even to say the governor's office isn't going to comment, you know, we're not granted that courtesy.
It's pretty tedious every time you write an article to have to put in calls you know will not be returned.
Yes, yes. And also interesting that when the day the lawsuit came out, you know, of course, we asked the governor's office for comment, and the governor's office didn't provide comment to the reporter, but the comment that they provided to other media outlets was something along the lines of, well, of course, this left-leaning rag or something like that is going to file this kind of lawsuit. And so I think that kind of makes the point that we're trying to make, that they treat us differently because they perceive that we have different politics than them.
It'll be interesting to see how this how the lawsuit shakes out.
Certainly.
Curious to see what judge it falls to. Yeah. As are you, I'm sure.
Yes.
So tell us what else people can find in this week's reporter. I wish I had a copy of it.
We already talked about the cover story is about plastic bags, and that there's a story about, you know, should PNM and Santa Fe break up? Another story that's in there is about working conditions in the basement of the Apodaca building.
I've been wondering about that. Yeah, with the asbestos situation, right? Or mold?
More so mold, okay. I think. I mean, the employees there, several employees have been suffering a variety of health effects. Some of them have, you know, doctors who are saying, we really believe this is caused by the air quality there in the basement. The state spent some money, did some cleanup, and has decided to relocate the workers. The workers' union doesn't believe there's enough proof that the cleanup was sufficient. They're still concerned about some chemicals that, you know, perhaps are the same kind of chemicals that were discovered when they started building the courthouse, the new courthouse. It's in the same neighborhood. They found those courthouse folks found some evidence of underground gasoline plumes that maybe leaked from gas stations in the 1950s. You know, wow. We feel like there's certainly a possibility that that's part of the problem in the basement of the Apodaca building. But it looks like the union and the public education department are going to have to duke this one out in court.
Wow. It's really unfortunate. I don't know if you remember when the public library had that mold situation. Like,
I don't recall.
Many, many years ago. But, I mean, it was a similar thing. It just dragged on and on. And people got sick. I mean, it's like you're better erring on the side of caution if people think they're in a sick building. Because usually there's a reason they think that. I think the reporter's a sick building, but not that bad.
That's why I have that window, just in case.
We used to have air purifiers. Are they still there?
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah. I should turn them on. No, I'm sure it's not a sick building. Anyway, please continue.
Other interesting things in the reporter this week include the picks. One of them is there's going to be a fundraiser for the Taos. I'm going to not get the name right. It's the Rio Grande Del Norte area.
Okay.
And there's an ice cream social up there in Cerro, New Mexico, which is north of Taos. Oh. So if you are in the mood for a nice drive on Saturday, you can go up there and eat a ton of ice cream and benefit and a conservation organization. So that's one of the picks.
It's a good time of year to drive north. It's always pretty to drive north this time of year.
Yeah, yeah. We've also got a little report about the rain, you know, and how researchers aren't really sure if this was record-setting rain for Santa Fe because the records were lost.
Really?
Does that surprise you?
I guess it does not, but I want to hear more.
So one of the weather stations that we rely on for information about precipitation in the city is out at the Santa Fe Airport. And according to the National Weather Service, they have data through the 60s, and there's some missing data from the 90s. They're not really sure what happened to it. And so no one remembers a storm like this in the 90s. But if you really wanted to get technical about it, we just don't know about that data from the airport. So,
well, that's... surprise. That actually does surprise me. I think of that as something like people do keep really good records of the rain. Especially, I always think it's funny that that's how they get the reports, is that they actually have people, like just regular people, who kind of volunteer their time and go out and like measure the rain in their backyard and send in the data.
Yeah, we do that at our house.
You do?
Yeah, it's called the Community Collaborative Rain, Hail, and Snow Network.
Oh, are you in that?
Yeah. So my husband goes out every morning. He's got a little... plastic doohickey that sits in the backyard, and you need to go out and look if there's any rain in there, then you
that's awesome
record
Julia.
It on the internet. Yeah, so you can find out how much rain has fallen in my backyard.
I love that. That's like my favorite thing, is the idea of the people who are out there doing that, and you're one of those people. I've always been like, who are these people? Here they are.
Yeah, I don't do it. It's my husband, Michael, who does it, but he does a great job.
I think it's awesome. Well, we're going to have to wrap up, but folks should definitely pick up this week's reporter. You can, of course, find it online at sfreporter.com. And, Julianne, are you looking for anything from the public?
I'm so glad that you asked. Mm-hmm. So today's the first day that we're advertising the annual reporter writing contest.
Uh-huh.
And so you can find information about that in this week's reporter. The deadline for submissions is October 19th, and we're looking for fiction, personal essays, and poems.
Awesome.
The theme is Come Quick, the Revolution.
Oh, I like it. Cool. That'll be fun. You're gonna get a lot of entries.
I hope so.
I can tell you that.
We're also always looking for street view pictures and eavesdropper, funny things that you heard. So all of that. Send it to me.
All right. And I believe your email is editor@sfreporter.com. Am I right?
That's right. And people still email you there. They're still looking for you.
I'm sorry about that. I'm pretty easy to find. Hey, coming up right now is the Collected Words store featuring Collected Works Bookstore. Today, amazing show. Owner Dorothy Mossey with Sheila Old in conversation with author Forrest Fenn, illustrator Danny Boldelson, about Mr. Fenn's latest book, Too Far to Walk. You don't want to miss that. As for me, I am out of here. Thank you, Julianne Grimm, for being with me today. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Have an awesome Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow here on KVSF 101.5, The Voice of Santa Fe, streaming live on santafe.com.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the senior editor of the Progressive magazine. With my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org, President Obama gave a good speech at the UN, invoking the highest ideals of the institution and stressing the humility the U.S. has earned the hard way through its use of force in Iraq. The contrast between Obama and George W. Bush continues to be a refreshing one in these forums. Obama also said he was open to a new relationship with Iran, which is encouraging, and he talked more frankly than usual about Israeli policy, noting that the occupation of the West Bank is tearing at the democratic fabric of the Jewish state. He pledged U.S. support for Israel, but also added that the Palestinian people have a right to live with security and dignity in their own sovereign state. Obama refused to let go of American exceptionalism, however, and he basically reiterated the Carter Doctrine that the whole of the Middle East is in our national security interests because of oil. He was blunt about this. The United States of America, he said, is prepared to use all elements of our power, including military force, to secure our core interests in the region. He added, we will ensure the free flow of energy from the region to the world. So for all of Obama's high-minded rhetoric, the reality is the same. The U.S. lays claim to the Middle East and is prepared even today to go to war over its resources. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.